Turn to Nehemiah, Nehemiah chapter 8. We finished that last lesson last week. I'm just looking at some different things for the next several weeks. Nehemiah chapter 8. It says, all the people gathered themselves together as one man into the street that was before the water gate. And they spake unto Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the law had commanded to Israel. And Ezra the priest brought the law before the congregation, both of men and of women, and all that could hear with understanding. Upon the first day of the week, or the seventh month, and he read therein before the street, there was before the water gate from the morning until midday, before the men and the women and those that could understand, the ears of all people were attentive unto the book of the law. And Ezra the scribe stood upon a pulpit of wood, which they had made for the purpose, and beside him stood Mathathiah, and Shema, and Ananiah, Urijah, Hilkiah, Messiah, and on his right hand and on his left hand was Padiah and Mishael, Malchiah, Hashem, Hashabadana, and then Zechariah and Meshullam. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people. And when he opened it, all the people stood up. Ezra blessed the Lord and the great God, and all the people answered, Amen, Amen, with lifting up their hands, and they bowed their heads and worshipped the Lord with their faces to the ground. Also Jeshua and Bani and Sherebiah, Jamin, Akub, Shabbatai, Hodijah, Messiah, Kelita, Azariah, Jozabad, Hanan, Pelilah, and the Levites caused the people to understand the law, and the people stood in the place. So they read in the book in the law of God distinctly and gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading. And Nehemiah, which is the Tirshatha, and Ezra the priest, the scribe, and the Levites that taught the people, said unto all the people, this day is holy unto the Lord your God. Mourn not, nor weep, for all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. And then he said unto them, go ye your way, eat the fat, and drink the sweet, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared, for this day is holy unto the Lord. Neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. So the Levites stilled all the people, saying, hold your peace, for the day is holy. Neither be ye grieved. And all the people went their way to eat and to drink and to send portions and to make great mirth, because they had understood the words that were declared unto them. And on the second day were gathered together the chief priests and the fathers of all the Levites and the priests and the Levites unto Ezra the scribe, even to understand the words of the law. And they found written in the law which the Lord had commanded by Moses, that the children of Israel should dwell in booths in the feast of the seventh month, and that they should publish and proclaim in all their cities and in Jerusalem, saying, go forth unto the mount, and fetch olive branches, and pine branches, and myrtle branches, and palm branches, and branches of thick trees to make booths, as it is written. So the people went forth and brought them, and made themselves booths, every one upon the roof of his house, and in their courts, and in the courts of the house of God, and in the street of the water gate, and in the street of the gate of Ephraim. And all the congregation of them that were come out of the captivity made booths and sat under the booths, for since the days of Jeshua the son of Nun, which was Joshua, unto the day that had not the children of Israel done so, and there was very great gladness. Also day by day, from the first day unto the last day, he read in the book of the law, and they kept the feast 7 days, and on the eighth day was a solemn assembly according unto the manner. And then we're going to read the first three verses of chapter 9, and then we'll get into. It says, now on the 20th and fourth day of this month, the children of Israel were assembled with fasting and with sackcloth, earth upon them. The seed of Israel separated themselves from all strangers and stood and confessed their sins and the iniquities of their fathers. And they stood up in their place and read in the book of the law of the Lord their God 1/4 part of the day, and another 1/4 part they confessed and worshipped the Lord their God. So Up until this point, if we go back to chapter 1, we could see where Nehemiah was made aware of the problem that was taking place, that the walls of Jerusalem were broken down. He was very sorrowful. He prayed. In verse 5 of chapter 1, it says, "And I said, Beseech thee, O Lord, God of heaven, the great and terrible God, and keep a covenant mercy for them that love him and observe his commandments. Let thine ear now be attentive, and thine eyes open, that thou mayest hear the prayer of thy servant, which I pray before thee now, day and night, for the children of Israel, thy servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel." So he's confessing, okay, "for the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against thee, both I and my father's house have sinned. We have dealt very corruptly against thee, and have not kept the commandments, nor the statutes, nor the judgments which thou commandest thy servant Moses. Remember, I beseech thee, the word that thou commandest that thy servant Moses, saying, If ye transgress, I will scatter you abroad among the nations. But if you turn unto me and keep my commandments and do them, though there were of you cast out unto the uttermost part of the earth, yet will I gather them from thence and will bring them unto the place that I have chosen to set my name there. And now these are the servants and thy people whom thou hast redeemed by thy power and by thy strong hand." If you see Nehemiah, he's first coming to God and confessing sin, getting right with God first. And he's humbling himself before God. And just as they did over here, is after they heard the word of God, the preaching of God's word, it brings conviction. If we have sin in our life, it brings us to the point of making us want to get right with God. It should. And that's what was happening in chapter 9 with the people. They stood in and confessed their sins and the iniquity of their fathers, and they stood up in their place and read the book of the law of the Lord, that their God, 1/4 part of the day, and then another part, they confessed and worshiped the Lord. So it helped them bring them to the point of repentance and getting right with God, getting their lives right. But Nehemiah was praying and confessing for the people, but he heard about the great affliction there in verse 3 of chapter 1, and the reproach, and the wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates are burned with fire. And it came to pass, when I heard these things, I sat down and wept. And he fasted and prayed before God of heaven. And then it tells us what he prayed. And then he prayed before he went in unto King Artaxerxes. And he realized when he went in before the king realized his countenance was different. It was changed. And then he shared his burden with the king. And the king granted him, which I believe God worked it out, granted him to go back to Jerusalem and help rebuild the walls. And provided all the materials to do it. But as we know, as you get back over in chapter 4 of Nehemiah, where they start, he goes through the night and nobody knew he was there yet. He goes through and checks the condition of the city as he goes around to the different parts of the city, and he gets it, basically probably puts a checklist together. And then the next day he gets all the people that are there, the remnant that was left, and he gets them there, and they build through much opposition, they build the wall, they rebuild the wall, and everything's fixed in 52 days. Well, I'm using a little bit of an outline out of a devotional, which is very good, and I'm going to read some of this out of there that kind of goes along with what we've been dealing with already. It says, God brought Nehemiah back to Jerusalem to supervise the rebuilding of the wall of the great city. The people were in a reproach and great affliction. The wall of Jerusalem also was broken down, and the gates thereof were burned with fire, as we've seen in chapter 1 and verse 3. It was a sad situation, and in the process, they not only rebuilt the wall in a miraculous 52 days against unbelievable opposition. And we've seen that in chapter 6 and verse 15. It says, so the wall was finished in the 25th day of the month Elu, the 52 days. And they had much opposition. They had it to the point to where they were working on the wall, and they had a weapon in one hand and a tool in the other. They were working on the wall, but yet they were defending themselves as well, because they had enemies that did not want to see the wall of Jerusalem built. But one of the most obvious indications of revival is an intensified hunger for God's word. And what happened here in chapter 8 and verse 1, it says, all the people, this is after they went through in chapter 7, they went through the register of genealogy, the first remnant of the people. They went through the register of the children, all the Nethinims and the children of the servants of the children of Solomon's servants. And then they went through the register of the priests without pedigree, and on down in chapter 7. But then they get to chapter 8, and it says, all the people gathered themselves together as one man in the street that was before the water gate, and they spake unto Ezra the scribe to bring the law, the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded to Israel. They requested, they had a hunger to hear God's word. And then it says there in verse 2, it says, Ezra the priest brought the law before the congregation, both of men and women, and all that could hear with understanding, upon the first day of the seventh month. And he read therein before the street that was before the water gate, from the morning until midday, before the men and the women and those that could understand, in the ears of all the people that were attentive unto the book of the law. So the first thing that we see there in verse 1, we've seen they requested the word of God. They wanted to hear God's word. They were God's people. But second, we see, as we see there in chapter verse 3, that he read therein before the street. Ezra read from the law of Moses, from the God's word. So he read God's word. And we see they were eager to receive it. They were eager for God's word. They requested it. They read it. But then we see there in verse 3 that they were attentive. That they were attentive. They received it. They requested it. They read it, and they received it. They were ready to receive God's word. Where else does it say that? In Acts chapter 17 and verse 11. 17 and verse 11, it says, there they were more noble than those at Thessalonica, in that they received the word of, and with all readiness of mind, and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. That was the Berean Christians. Acts chapter 17 and verse 11, if you're looking for it. These were more noble than those at Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. They were checking the preachers out. They were saying, okay, we're going to write this stuff down. We're going to go home and look in our Bibles and what he's saying. Is it true? They just didn't take it at face value. They wanted to search the scriptures. They were attentive. They received the word of God. But then we see in verses 5 and 6, it says, and Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people. And when he opened it, all the people stood up. They were giving reverence to God, the reading of God's word. Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, amen, amen, with lifting up their hands, and they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. So we see here that they responded to God's word. They were responding to what was being said. But then finally, what we see in verse 12, it says, all the people went their way to eat and to drink and to send portions to make great mirth, because they had understood the words that declared unto them. So they rejoiced in God's word. See, because God was doing a reviving work, the scriptures became a priority to them, as it should be in our lives. God's word should be the priority in our lives. What place does God's word have in your home? Most Christian families have lots of Bibles, but many fail to prioritize what God says. I don't know if you've ever heard, I know some people said it, God said it, that settles it, whether we believe it or not. And that's where we need to be, with the authority of God's word. See, most Christian families have a lot of Bibles, but many fail to prioritize. Your family needs to be founded on God's word. We need to be founded. We need to be standing on the foundation of God's word, which is a firm foundation. It must be your final and absolute authority for everything. You also need to be grounded in the word of God. As it says there in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, it says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We need to be willing, as Peter says, to give an answer at any time when anybody asks about our faith. We need to be grounded in God's word. You must teach it to your family daily to provide a solid and biblical foundation for them, one that can weather the most severe storms of life. Your family must also be bounded by the word of God. And see, let God's word set your family's spiritual boundaries. Never forget, God's word does not merely contain the formula for success. It is God's formula. Jeremiah 15:16 says, "Thy words were found, and I did eat them. Thy word was unto me the joy and the rejoicing of my heart, for I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts." This was God's formula for success. Now, when we think of success in the world, we think of somebody that has a nice home and a nice ride, and they dress in nice clothes all the time, and they have everything nice that this world has to offer. Well, that's success in man's eyes. But God's definition for success is spiritual success, and that's being right with Him. As it says there in Psalm 119, verse 11, we just went over this here a few Sunday nights ago. "Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee." See, we depend upon the power of God's word in our life. And then it says in verse 9, you back up a couple of verses, "It's wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way by taking heed thereto according to thy word." See, we can read God's word, we can study God's word, we can do a lot of things with God's word, but if we don't apply it to our lives, it does us no good. If when we hear what God's word has to say and we do nothing about it, we're worse off afterwards than we were before we even heard it. And that's the truth. If we don't take the truth and do something with it, then we're worse off than when we started. Because now we know better that we should have done something with it. So they requested God's word. They read God's word. They received it. They responded. And then afterwards, they rejoiced. Let's pray.